So in December of 1980, the Voyager 1 spacecraft, having been in space for more than 3 years at this point, completed its encounter with Saturn and its moons. And this was the end of its primary mission. So with its primary mission over, Carl Sagan proposed that they use the opportunity to take a photo of the Earth. And it wouldn't be a very scientifically valuable photo. You wouldn't be able to see anything of note from that photo. But he wanted to offer some perspective. Fears of damaging the imaging system by turning the camera back towards the sun at such a close range forced them to delay the picture until Valentine's Day 1990, so just about 10 years later. At that point, the distance from the Earth was over 6 billion kilometers. So that's further than Neptune's orbit. It would take about 5.5 hours traveling at the speed of light for the data to be sent back to us. So just for context, it takes about 8 minutes for light to get from the sun to us. So it took 5.5 hours for the data of those images to travel back to Earth. The image has since been titled the Pale Blue Dot. Who's seen this image? Anyone? A few people have. The Pale Blue Dot. And when you look at the picture, it's difficult to tell if the dot itself is actually part of the picture or whether it's a piece of dust on your computer screen. You kind of have to wipe it with your thumb to make sure. But there it is, a tiny, pale, blue dot. At least once a week, I either listen to or read Carl Sagan's commentary on this photo. And I want to share with you what he says, though it's a sermon in and of itself, so bear with me. But it's pretty wonderful. And because I listen to it so often, I apologize if I slip into Carl Sagan voice. So please forgive me for that. Look again at that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering. Thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. The Earth is a very small stage in a vast cosmic arena. Think of the endless cruelties visited by the inhabitants of one corner of this pixel on the scarcely distinguishable inhabitants of some other corner. How frequent their misunderstandings. How eager they are to kill one another. How fervent their hatreds. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors so that in glory and triumph they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot. Our posturings, our imagined self-importance, the delusion that we have some privileged position in the universe are challenged by this point of pale light. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. The Earth is the only world known so far to harbor life. There is nowhere else, at least in the near future, to which our species could migrate. Visit? Yes. settle? Not yet. Like it or not, for the moment, the earth is where we make our stand. And I love this commentary for a lot of reasons. But today it helps me to reflect on a big question that comes out of our scripture passage. The story of Saul on the road to Damascus is a well-known one. Traveling to persecute Christians, there's a light, a voice, and poof, a converted Saul of Tarsus on the path to becoming Paul, apostle to the Gentiles. And so as we read this passage, I think we're encouraged to ask, what is conversion? It's a word thrown around in regards to religion, but what does it mean to be converted? Because I think conversion is more than just the affirmation of a belief. It's more than just saying, well, once I didn't believe something, but now I do, bang, I'm a convert. I think there are a lot of people who proclaim to be Christian, but I would question whether or not they were ever truly converted. So the word conversion comes from the Latin for turnaround. And while I think a big piece of conversion is turning around from one way of living to another, I want to look at it from a different angle. Quite literally, actually. Because to turn around means to look in another direction. You're facing one way, and you turn around and you see another way. When you turn around, you see that looking in one direction only provides a small portion of the view. And you turn around and you see that there's so much more to see when you look to your left or when you look to your right or when you look behind you or above or below. So in this way, I see conversion not as an affirmation of belief, but rather as an expansion of our worldview. The biggest compulsion that we have in our world is that we are right. That I am right. I'm correct. The way I see things, the way I do things is the right and proper way. The sin of such perspective is not the worldview itself, it's the presumption that any worldview could possibly be complete. The fault isn't our limited way of seeing things. The fault is our failure to understand that our way of seeing things is limited. At its heart, such obstinance, that's idolatry, I think. To think my way of seeing things is all there is, that's the deification of self. We worship our own worldview and we call it sacred. And the conversion of Paul models this well. We have Paul, the legalist with absolute religious piety and properness, has a worldview so powerful he is willing to kill for it. But his conversion isn't simply a sudden affirmation of Jesus. It's an expansion of his worldview beyond that previously limited understanding. The gospel of love permeates his writing, trumping his previous attempts at finding some sort of purity. I actually really appreciate Paul's own words on his conversion. In Galatians, he describes who he was before. Quote, "For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of mine own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers." Now, what's telling for me here and what's important is that Paul never apologizes for this. He never says, "I used to see it this way, I was wrong, and now I see it correctly." Rather, he says, "I used to see it this way, and now I see it this way." As though his new way of seeing the world has added to, has enhanced his old way of seeing things. For Paul, yeah, there is a place for legalism, but only so far as it's not an absolute, only so far as it does not intrude on grace, on relationship, on love. He hasn't rejected his past worldview. He's just added to it. He's broken the monopoly that it held over his life. That's why he panics anytime some of his followers start down legalistic paths. Not that circumcision or food regulations are inherently wrong, just that we tend to deify laws over love. Paul knows that. He knows that intimately. That's why he reacts so viscerally in so many of his letters. To change our view is not to say our old view is wrong, but simply to say that it's small. I like Richard Rohr's language for this. Conversion is not about learning something new. It's more about unlearning what we already know. It's about understanding our absolute perspective, our absolute ways of doing things are okay. They're just limited. This passage from Carl Sagan, it so beautifully exemplifies this. It's such a wonderful reminder of how small all of our worldviews are. How we see only a limited fraction of a dot of the way things are. Last week I said that the great Christian spiritual practice was encountering the outcast, and I want to add to that. Carl Sagan adds another paragraph to his commentary that I'm going to close with. It's been said that astronomy is a humbling, and I might add, a character-building experience. To my mind, there is perhaps no better demonstration of the folly of human conceits than this image of our tiny world. To me, it underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly and compassionately with one another and to preserve and cherish that pale blue dot, the only home we've ever known. Hearing words like this, it makes me wonder if maybe we need to add astronomy to the spiritual practices of Christianity. The hope that the humility it offers, that it might be the source of tremendous conversion. Thanks be to God. Amen.